Welcome back to Disturbing the Priest. I'm your host, Brandon Baddock. We are back with another ranking video. This time, I will be ranking every single Aussie-era Black Sabbath song. Very ambitious of me to do this. I'm not doing anything else besides the Aussie stuff. And the bonus tracks and the interlude stuff, I'm not counting. At some point, I will be doing the Dio ranking, all the Dio stuff, and all the Tony Martin ranking stuff. But for now, I'm just doing the Aussie stuff. And one of these I'll probably put on the Patreon, which, yes, Disturbing the Priest is now on Patreon. Link down below. $3 a month. All exclusive content. You can see every interview the second they're done being recorded, instead of having to wait every Friday or whatever. So I think that's fair. Gives people a way to support the podcast here. Also, I did think about doing like a full Black Sabbath 1 to 13 ranking, which I don't know, a little ambitious, and I would kind of hate to do it. I think what would be fair is to do it when the podcast hits a milestone. So for the people who just listen to the podcast, there is a YouTube channel attached to it. And for the people who just watch the YouTube channel, yes, this is a podcast. Here's what I'm thinking. If this podcast ever gets 5,000 subscribers on YouTube, I'll do it. From Black Sabbath 1 to 13, including Tony Martin stuff, including Born Again, including the bonus tracks, I'll do it all. I'll do this whole thing. Only when I get 5,000. Because I know that's going to piss a lot of people off if I do that. I already ranked all the Metallica stuff. When 72 Seasons came out, I did a ranking every single Metallica song from Kill 'Em All to 72. And yes, honestly, after doing that, I'm surprised no one threw a bomb through my window. So I'm happy to be here. This is awesome, man. I love Black Sabbath. They're probably my favorite band of all time. So I'm pretty excited to do this. Before this, I ranked every single Electric Wizard album, which you can find. I also ranked every single Ghost song, all the way up to Impera, which is cool and a lot of fun. I think I did that like a year ago. I'd love to do more of these. It's just like, it's a lot of, like, I had to listen to the Aussie era stuff. I listened to it a bunch more. I have a bunch of the records too. I went through all of the albums again a bunch. I already kind of know where I'm going to put everything, even before I re-listen to everything. Black Sabbath is one of my favorite, again, like I said, one of my favorite bands of all time. Something that's interesting, though, is a lot of people rank the Sabbath stuff that I've seen. And they talk about growing up with Sabbath, you know, buying, you know, Paranoid, getting it as a gift when they were a kid or something. I think what's going to be very interesting about this specific ranking is I got into Black Sabbath after 13 came out. And of course, I knew the radio hits and everything, but, you know, I wasn't alive in the 70s and 80s. So when I got into the band, I pretty much, you know, had Spotify. And started with Sabbath 1 and listened all the way down to 13. So I definitely have a very different perspective when it comes to looking at the band's catalog. But I'm excited to really dig into and discover how I'm going to rank everything. I kind of did map out a couple things yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I'll get into how I feel about Volume 4 and stuff and 13. I have a lot of opinions about 13. But yeah, I think it's going to be a blast. I'm very excited for this. Let's just start Could we just all agree with the first one? Like, do I even have to say anything? One of the greatest debut records of all time. One of the greatest debut songs on a debut album of all time. One of the best title tracks of all time. The samples, the eeriness. Tony Iommi's whole goal with Black Sabbath was, you know, there's scary movies. Why isn't there any, why is there no scary music? So here we are, and I feel like he definitely accomplished that with this song. Fantastic. Haunting riff. The second half, when it gets like groovy, is awesome. It's just a great, great, great song. And a great album. Like this album, and yes, unfortunately, Wicked World isn't on here. It's the Vertigo track listing. I'll definitely let you know when this whole thing's over where I would put Wicked World. Hopefully I remember. If not, I'll write down in the comments or the description of the podcast. All right, The Wizard. Awesome. I love the harmonica on it. I love the riff. Cool lyrics. I love Bill Ward on this. Is awesome. The fills he does. Is it on the same level as Black Sabbath, though? I don't think so. I think it's a solid A track. And yes, all right, let me just get this out of the way. Just because a song is an A-tier track or a B-tier track doesn't mean it sucks. All right? All these songs, even Who Are You or whatever, I'm trying to think if there's any, like, obvious. Even, like, you know, the bottom of the barrel of, like, Technical Ecstasy or Never Say Die, I think are still forget that. 13, the worst of 13, I think is still fantastic. So just because it's C tier or B tier doesn't mean it sucks. It's just not on the same level as other Sabbath songs. And yes, I'm also going to try to rank this all individually, which is going to be pretty much impossible. So at the end of this, you'll be able to, like, literally number the exact ranking of all these songs. But I thought, instead of just, like, sitting alone for, like, a couple hours and writing my whole, you know, order, I thought this would be a much more fun. Behind the Wall of Sleep, I think this is the same issue as The Wizard. Again, great, great, great song. Is it the best Sabbath's ever put out? I don't think so. And I think we'll discover that with the next track. But Behind the Wall of Sleep, I think, you know, I'd prefer The Wizard over it personally. Great song, a concert staple, but I think definitely gets overshadowed by a lot of other tracks, especially the one that's connected to it, NIB. This is an S-tier song, obviously. The bass line, the lyrics, everything about it is just absolutely incredible. NIB is perfect. A concert staple. One of the greatest bass lines in all of rock or whatever. All right. Sleeping Village. Sleeping Village. This is like a 14-minute, you know, earthy, jammy track. Some of the best shredding I've ever heard from Tony Iommi. For me personally, and this is probably going to be the hottest take of the thing, but I think this is top of S. I think this is an incredible, so, so, so underrated. So, so underrated. You can find a bootleg in 1970, I think in Paris, where they take this song and they extend it 30 minutes. Absolutely incredible. This song is it. I used to skip class and put this song on and just walk the halls. So good. I have good memories attached to it, but it's one of those songs where, like, every time I hear it, I have to stop everything I'm doing and just, like just listen to it. You know, it's so good. I wish Sabbath kind of did more of this, but I kind of don't at the same time, because everything they did after this is just absolutely incredible. I'm probably going to say that word a lot. I'll try to change up my vocabulary a little bit, but all right, there it is. The exact order of my Black Sabbath 1 ranking. There you go. So a lot of people have videos where they'll take an album and they'll rank all the tracks individually. Oh, I'm doing that all at once. So a lot of content here. War Pigs. One of the most iconic needle drops, and then you just hear that riff come in. So good. The lyrics that come in, the progression of the song, the instrumentation, it's just all perfect. It's all perfect. For me, it's right before Black Sabbath. I prefer Black Sabbath and Sleeping Village, but I think it's better than everything like before it in terms of NIB, The Wizard, Behind the Wall of Sleep. It's just a fantastic track. It's fantastic. Perfect. I'll try not to say fantastic again. Paranoid. All right. This is probably arguably their biggest song. It was just a filler track, if I can remember. They're like, you know, the label's like, you need one more song. So Tony is like, all right, let's just jam something out. And this came out and became their biggest song ever. For me, is it my favorite song ever? Not really. I think it's great. I think it's fun, but compared to some of the more advanced and longer tracks that come after and before it, you know, I think it doesn't have as much substance. For me, it goes right before The Wizard, personally. I just prefer The Wizard as a song. We're Paranoid. It's fun. I love the lyrics to it. I love the riff. I love its simplicity, but I think other songs definitely overshadow this one. So going into Paranoid. So I should have studied a dictionary before this, but I think the track listing of Paranoid is perfect. Is one of the best track listings of an album ever. The order is so, like, the flow is so great. And you know how hard it is with especially with this album, where you got a heavy song, you got an instrumental, you got a psyche, like, you know, smoke weed song, which is Planet Caravan. Planet Caravan is really good. Takes me back to my college days, you know what I mean? fun song. Love the bongos. It accomplishes what it's trying to convey tenfold with how it's about drifting through space and just like floating through the universe. It makes me feel like I ascend out of my body every time I listen to it. And I'm not talking about the extra substances involved, but yeah, Planet Caravan is good, but I think everything else before it that we're looking at right now overshadows it. But perfect addition to the album. Now, I do like doing discussion videos. I'm trying to do some more of them, and I'm looking for like topics, because I just love talking music, and it gives me an excuse to just talk music with people. After like looking at this band's discography, a subject I thought about is good brother-sister tracks. Tracks that flow into each other that maybe aren't connected, but just flow into each other so perfectly. And I don't think, besides maybe, you know, a Led Zeppelin song like Heartbreak or whatever, I don't think there's any real better example than this than Planet Caravan going into Iron Man. You're stoned, you're like a little sleepy, you're like, oh, that was, I like the direction this album's going in, and then it goes quiet, and then you just hear a kick, and then Tony bends the string, and then Ozzy comes in with the like demented vocals. excellent song. Iron Man. For me, going after NIB. Going after NIB. Amazing. And obviously the riff is perfect, but I think the riff kind of overshadows the solo. The solo on this song is, like, I think so iconic and is the best part of the song. Really good. I feel like the Iron Man solo isn't talked about enough. Of course, there's other songs we'll touch on that I think are way, way, way more underrated. But in terms of, like, general greatest hits, Sabbath, I think the Iron Man solo is, like every time I hear it, it's like, can never get enough of it. All right. Now, Electric Funeral follows this. Really cool, like, wah, like, creepy, cool. I love the tone this song creates. This is the classic example of that meme that's going around where it's like, you know, first half of Sabbath song, eerie, sad, depressing. Second half, it's like, oh damn, they're actually, like, grooving, you know? Or it's like, it's super dark and evil, and then it's like just like the most groovy riff you've ever heard. Electric Funeral is a perfect example of that. For me, it is going right before Paranoid. Just a good track. Really good. But I think I'm happy with where it sits here. Hand of Doom. Great bass line. Again, another example of it really, the song really picking up as it goes on. I think for me, this is right before Electric Funeral. Is it S tier? I wouldn't say it's an NIB riff. You know, I wouldn't say the bass line is as good as the one in NIB. So for that alone, still fantastic, still, like, incredible. But is it as good as the best Sabbath has to offer? I don't think so. But still has that high level. Rat Salad, such a great name. I always love some of the names, the titles of a lot of these songs. Fun instrumental, great drum solo. Bill Ward goes off on this. I think this is bottom of A. I prefer Behind the Wall of Sleep. I think I prefer everything that comes before it. It's a fantastic song. It fits so perfectly in this track listing. But yeah, Rat Salad. Always love to hear it. But I'm never really seeking it out, I feel, more than the other ones I have on here. But I don't know, man. Black Sabbath, they just have a way at, when it comes to ending a record, they just know how to do it. They just know how to have that perfect final track. For me, Fairies Wear Boots is, you know, to say it's S tier is, I feel, an understatement. I'm going to put this right before Sleeping Village. Everything about this, the riff, the lyrics, the groove, everything, the solo, the just, like, I love the almost like humor a little bit in the lyrics, like smoking and tripping, you know, is all that you do. It's just fun. There's a lot of rumors going around with the songs about, you know, they were all tripping and they ran into a bunch of skinheads or something. Who knows? There must be an interview where he actually debunks what it's about, but one of the best closing tracks of an album ever, in my opinion. The first two Black Sabbath albums ranked here, all their songs. I'm pretty okay with this. The Wizard, I really like, but is it as good as Electric Funeral and Hand of Doom? Honestly, I think I'm going to put it between Electric Funeral and Hannah Duke. I really love The Wizard. I think it's just such a... I love the simplicity of it. I love the like, how it's just so stripped down compared to the, like, Never Say Die, Jesus Christ, where it's the complete opposite, where it's like, let's just have every instrument in this. Yeah. Paranoid might... Nah, I think this is good. I think this is good. I know I already have people typing their opinions already. And trust me, it's just going to get worse. Sweet Leaf, here we go. Black Sabbath 3 is awesome. I love this album to death. I play this record endlessly. It was one of the first vinyls I ever bought, ever. One of the first vinyls I have. I don't have a first press, unfortunately, but I do have a Vertigo reissue that I love to death. And then when I was, you know, when I first got into vinyl, I bought some stupid repress that got destroyed from my suitcase, Crosley. But this one is just the guitar tone, the riffage on this. Tony was just like, you know, let's just keep getting heavy. Let's just get as heavy as possible with this. And they're stoners as well, and they convey this with the opening track, Sweet Leaf, which starts with one of the funniest samples ever of one of them coughing after a bong hit or something. For me, Sweet Leaf is a S-tier track. I think it's I prefer it over NIB personally. I love this one. I think it's fantastic. I love the riff. It was one of the first riffs I've ever learned on guitar. It's just so classic. The song just flows so well. It's the perfect length. Just what has it been said about this song already, you know? After Forever, though, for me, was a few listens until it really grabbed me. It's a good song. I believe they played this on their final tour, which is, for me, kind of surprising, but I guess it's just because they never really played it a ton back in the day. I swear, and little side note rant right here, all right? Sabbath is 100% one of those bands that they could have played live and just, I wish, oh my God. If Black Sabbath was one of those bands like what Metallica is currently doing, where they, all the track lists are whatever, it's whatever they feel like playing. They'll play whatever deep cuts they want. That I want nothing more. If Black Sabbath did that and they were on tour, I would follow every goddamn date. If they would just, like, you know, pull, if they were doing St. Vitus Dance, if they were doing Backstreet Kids, you know, where unfortunately it was a little more formulaic, and yeah, every concert's going to be the same track list and stuff. It's like, come on, you know, they I feel like they've got that status where when they play, and the band ended forever ago, after Forever. I feel like they could have been that band. I really do. And even like, you know, I might be pushing it by saying this, but like, even like a jam band, like I would have loved to, like, cause when back in the day when they used to jam stuff, like I thought it was like, they would, jam like Black Sabbath. They would jam the, like, a lot of the songs of the first album, because they didn't have a lot of material, so they just had to extend everything. And God, would I to be a fly on the wall for that, because I think Tony Iommi is just such an amazing guitar player, and anything he improvises or just extended solos, I'm here for it. But yeah, that's all right. Rant over. But After Forever, it's a good song. It's a great song. But is it the best of the best for Black Sabbath? I don't think so. I think it is right after Behind the Wall of Sleep. Good track, but never, you know, I'm never really like seeking it out to listen to. I usually only listen to it when I spin the record, and it's always a great listen. But there's definitely songs that outshine this one. Like, for example, Children of the Grave. this song makes me want to go to war. I just want to, you know, run into a battlefield listening to this very, very dark, eerie lyrics that you know, when I was going to school and when I was a kid, I would listen to this. And with everything going on with the world currently, you know, made me think, like, damn, like, this might be, this song might foreshadow a lot in the future. But Children of the Grave, just excellent. Excellent. Does everything it needs to do. For me, it's right after Sweet Leaf. It's just, it's an S-tier song, without a doubt. It's a concert staple. It's like, this song should be played every time they do a show. Which, again, the band's no longer, unfortunately. Lord of This World is definitely an underrated track on this record. Again, it's Master Reality. Everyone knows this record, but I feel like Lord of This World isn't talked enough compared to the other tracks. This is fantastic. This is such a good song. Yep. It's bottom of S for me. The riff, Ozzy's vocal melody on this is perfect. This is just gonna be like me fangirling about Black Sabbath for 2 hours. I like, what is there to say about this? It's like, guitar tone's awesome. I wouldn't change a single thing about this. It's an S tier track for me. If they're doing a concert, the fact that they're playing After Forever over Lord of This World is, you know, beyond me. But whatever. All right. Solitude, which is, for me, I kind of always saw this as the sequel to Planet Caravan. And I think the first B track, it's okay. It kind of seems a little bit like a filler song. It's not really as impactful as Planet Caravan. It's just kind of like very depressing. I think it's cool. I think it fits in with the album really well, but compared to everything else, I don't think it's as good. But really good. I love it. Into the Void. Again, Sabbath knows how to close out an album, especially with this song. This song actually used to be, this podcast used to be a radio show, which was called Into the Void. So, I just wanted to keep with the Black Sabbath, the theme, because I love this band, and then renamed it into, something which I think is a lot cooler. Into the Void, is great. It's a long one, but the time is so justified. It feels like you're just endlessly sinking into nothing. The lyrics, the riff, everything's fantastic about this. I think this is bottom of S so far, but yeah. All right. I'm pretty confident with this. It's hard because I just want to put everything in S tier. Like Solitude, it was rough trying, like, having to put it in B, but, you know, if you were to rank all the Black Sabbath songs, you know, compared to other bands, I'd put everything in S. So relax. All right. Now this is the one where there's definitely going to be a bunch of comments written. Volume 4 is a good album. It's a really, really good album. I have the box set behind me and a Vertigo right there. I love this one. One of my first albums I got as a gift when I got a record player. I'll be honest, this took me a couple listens until I got into it. Even Supernaut and Snowblind, it had to grow on me a little bit. Once it did, you know, this is one of those albums where I'll play Wheels of Confusion and then be like, you know what, screw it, I'm just going to listen to the whole thing. Wheels of Confusion, man, is fantastic. And listen, before I get into any of that, let me just say that I think Volume 4, You know, and this might be controversial, but I think it's one of the worst Black Sabbath cover arts. And the band could agree with me on that. They hated the because this album was supposed to be called Snowblind, but obviously, you know, the label's like, you're kidding. You know, it was a picture of the tour that came before it. Very boring album art. It is cool with Ozzy and, you know, Volume 4. It's become iconic within itself. It's one of the more funny enough, it's actually one of the more iconic Black Sabbath covers. But for me personally, the people that say they love this and then hate the Born Again album art, I think are crazy. It's just way too simplistic for me. And it's so funny. I feel like Black Sabbath has had a history of just like, you know, terrible, like just hating their, like even Sabotage, where they didn't even know they were shooting the album art and hated it. But Wheels of Confusion, I think it's good. It's a long one. Is it justified though? I think so. I like how it progresses over the time. I like the moaning of the guitar when the song starts. The song really picks up too. Like the tempo really picks up, and I love it. I love how the song progresses. For me, now it's gonna get tough. Now it's gonna really get tough. But I definitely have more of an idea now that I can see more of these songs laid out. I'm going to put it right before Electric Funeral. It's good. You know, I think it's complexity in the riffs in it. For me, like, I prefer it over The Wizard, Hand of Doom, Planet Caravan, whatever. Is it the best of the best with Black Sabbath? You probably think so, but for me personally, I don't. But I think it's a great one. I think it's really good. Tomorrow's Dream. I think it's a good riff. I like it. For me, it's not the most memorable track on this record. I do think this album is a little bit of a, you know, I've said this before, but I think it's a little bit of an identity crisis for the band. They even, you know, Tony even said after Volume 4, he felt like he had to record, you know, Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath. He had to bring it back to the roots, and that's why he recorded it in a dungeon or a castle, whatever. And I agree with Tony Iommi. Is this a bad album by any means? Not at all. This is a fantastic album. When you look at, you know, all the other records coming out at the time, I love Spinning. I have the box set. All right. I love this record, but compared to other Sabbath stuff, Tomorrow's Dream just doesn't really do all that much for me personally. It's great. It's a solid riff, but it just doesn't really stick with me every time I listen to it. But it's always fun. I love listening to the riff. I don't hate any of these songs. I love Tomorrow's Dream. Let me just say that. All right, but whatever. Changes. This is the one where they go, hey, maybe we should try to get some radio play. You know what I mean? And Changes is great. I like it. I do. Jesus Christ. This is so hard. I'm gonna put it bottom of B. Whatever, man. It's great. It's a good song. It's really sad. I think it was just Tony messing around on the piano and he goes, hey, this is something, you know. Is it The Wizard? Is it Hand of Doom? Is it Rat Salad? Though, you know what I mean? It's a great song. It's a classic. Definitely is a classic. Supernaut, though, is definitely that riff. It just, you know, now, 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 now. All right, I won't sing anything else. For me, again, Supernaut and Snowblind. I love, I really do. Super Not for me, I'd probably I'd put right after Hand of Doom. I don't think it's on the same level as like Into the Void, Sweet Leaf. And I know that it's famously in that category as like the best of the best for Sabbath. For me personally, I like the riff, but I don't think it just doesn't really do a lot for me for some reason. You know, it's just like very it's very classic rock, if that makes sense. Snowblind, I prefer a little more over. I love the you know, Osby, Ozzy, my bad, Ozzy whispering cocaine during the song. I think that's really funny. This is tough, man. This is really tough because I think I prefer Hand of Doom over this. So I think I'm going to put it in between here because I like it more than Caravan, After Forever, Behind the Wall of Sleep. Yeah, all right. I'm okay with that. I know a lot of comments are being written right now, but I think it's fair, you know, whatever. Volume 4 was good. Cornucopia, cool doomy riff to start this out. Kind of always takes me by surprise because I go, oh yeah, it's Black Sabbath making this record. I don't think it's as good as Snowblind. I don't think it's as good as Supernaut. It's lyrically, it is cool. It's about, you know, just how, you know, material possession doesn't really fulfill people, and how it's all just, you know, whatever. It's all, you're hollow no matter what. It's all about, you know, personal growth instead of material gain. I'm going to put this right before Tomorrow's Dream. Another one they would play a lot live back in the day, but for me, I don't know, just don't really do it. Doesn't really do it for me personally. I love this record, but I don't think, when you look at everything that comes before it, I just don't think it holds up. And I know I've seen people say it's their favorite of all time, their number one Black Sabbath record. But for me, sorry, man. It just doesn't do a whole lot for me. But Laguna Sunrise, which I believe it's pronounced. There was definitely a typo here where they wrote surprise. And that's fitting because the song was a surprise when I first heard it. Because it's like, whoa, what's going on here? And it's nice. This album is nice. It's a nice breath. I will say this about it. It is a nice breath of fresh air. Where it's, you know, with especially Master Reality, you got Solitude or whatever. But the record before this was very, you know, one note opposed to this, where there's a lot of, it's very dynamic in, the tracks, Laguna or whatever, Sunrise, I'm gonna put right before it changes. It's a good song, but it's just this nice little acoustic melody. Maybe it shouldn't even be in this. maybe I shouldn't have counted this because it's, but it is kind of long, right? I don't know. Whatever. It's B. All right. St. Vitus Dance, it's a fun one. It's a nice little groovy one. This one for me, I would put right at the tail end of A. I like it. I love the riff. It's got the oh Jesus Christ, why am I blanking on? It's the thing Ozzy uses with the tambourine. Is that what it is? Yeah, okay. Hopefully I'm right with that. All right. But yeah, St. Vitus Dance. It's fun. Does its job. I prefer Rat Salad and Behind the Wall of Sleep over it personally. Is it better than Tomorrow's Dream and Cornucopia? Yeah, I think so. We'll revisit that at the end of this. Under the Sun. This one, you know, maybe could have been a Master Reality. The classic Black Sabbath just with the classic album ending tracks. They know how to close out a record. Under the Sun, the almost like gallopy riff is so good. So good. I play this one a lot, and it's long too. It's a long song. Right above Wheels of Confusion for me. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Oh God, this is hard. This is volume 4. Yep. Now you can pause the video and leave a hate comment, but I don't know, man. I think this is, for me, this is fitting. I might move Under the Sun up a little bit. But yeah, man, like Children of the Grave, Sweetleaf, Lord of This World, NIB, War Pigs. I don't think anything off volume 4 touches that level. Maybe, you know, when people argue Supernaut and Snowblind, I can see that. It's a very formulaic, good riff. You know, just a very, very solid song. But I prefer stuff like The Wizard, Wheels of Confusion, Under the Sun, more ambitious tracks. And I think this album is a little bit of an identity crisis for the band. And it is a really good one. It's a great identity crisis. And I love the experimentation on this. FX, for example, which is just them, you know, like coked out in the studio being like, whoa, that sounded cool, you know. But I don't know, man. That's volume 4 for you. All right. Now, Black Sabbath came back swinging hard with Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath. Back to their roots. The title track kicks off the song, and by God, is this a force to be reckoned with? I'm going to put this right before Iron Man. This song, so good. I'm trying not to say excellent or absolutely amazing again, but this song just kicks all the ass. It does. The riff, the bridge, the vocals, everything about it. This song is so heavy and great. Its length is very justified. I wish they did this more live by the end of the band's lifespan, but whatever. The song after it, a national acrobat. Whoop. Uh-oh. This riff, it's very floaty. It's nice, it's soothing, it's relaxing. The lyrics are very, you know, psychedelic and spiritual and cool and back to, like, you know, it's almost like this feels like the proper sequel to Master Reality, if anything. And there's definitely some experimentation on this one, don't get me wrong, but this song, I'm going to put right under Wheels of Confusion. I think it's an excellent second track. Just solid. Such an underrated riff with this one. Really, really good. Fluff. I'm gonna put right above Laguna, whatever. Sunrise. Laguna Sunrise. I'm gonna pray that's how it's pronounced. But yeah, it's 5 minutes. It does its job. Not really that, you know, I'm never listening to this song on its own, you know what I mean? But it fits really well. A lot, I feel like Black Sabbath is one of those bands where they're not a singles band. And they have singles, but they're not a singles band. When I listen to Sabbath Play Sabbath, I'm doing it as a record. You know what I mean? I'm not being like, you know, it's the day for, you know, Who Are You? That's what I'm going to listen to. But Sabra Cadabra, funny title. I love the, again, back to what I was saying earlier. Love the titles. Sabra Cadabra's fun, bouncy. I really, really like this one. I'm going to put this right after The Wizard again. I think these two tracks, I don't know, they just, I think they're like the same exact level of quality. Just really, really good stuff. And even Killing Yourself to Live. I think these three tracks are just so, the consistency and quality with this record is so good. Even though I just put fluff and B tier. But Killing Yourself to Live, I think this is a live staple. It's a great riff, fun song. Love the chorus of this. Again, after The Wizard, I think. I like this order. I like it. I was maybe going to put it over Sabra Cadabra. I like it. It's going to change as we go on, probably, but maybe not. That'd be cool if it didn't, but all right, Who Are You? Let me preference this. Side A is very consistently good. Who Are You? Which again, is probably just Ozzy stoned on the synthesizer or whatever. Is this a good song? Yeah. Is it forgettable? Kinda. Everything else on the album overshadows this, you know, pretty greatly. I'm gonna put it right after Solitude because it is good, you know. Actually, I do like Solitude and Changes better. I'm gonna put it after Fluff, which is like the first big like. It's the lowest ranking, I guess, for the first song with like lyrics and actual structure, I guess. But I don't know, man. Like, it's cool. I like it. It definitely feels like a filler. It definitely feels like a filler. It's fun. It just doesn't really do much for me. I wouldn't say it's on the same level as, you know, Rat Salad or Sabra Cadabra. So I think it fits very comfortable in B, but looking for today, this chorus always is in my head. Looking for today, hey, I love his delivery on that. Good riff. I like the main riff of this one. I think it's a fun song. I always enjoy listening to this one. I'm gonna put this right after Saint Vitus Dance. Is it like the best of the best? No, but it's still a fun listen to. Now, like I was saying earlier, Black Sabbath, you know, knows how to end an album. But when do they break this? When do they break this pattern? Because this pattern, you know, it's can't do it forever. Definitely with the last two tracks, there's definitely a dip in quality, I think. Still fantastic. All right. You guys ruined me with the Metallica video, by the way. Now I feel like I have to, defend every pick I do. Spiral Architect is stunning, is great. Is like the vocal melodies, the eeriness in like Ozzy's vocals in the chorus, how everything's just like composed in the song, is so beautiful. There's an element of like, this song's a little haunting, but there's like a lot of optimism to it. It's I guess it's about, you know, gods who create the universe, and it's such a beautiful song. For me, it's going right between Under the Sun and Wheels of Confusion. I think this is a very, very, very underrated track. It's such a beautiful song. And it reminds me of something. This is going to be crazy. Maybe not, because I'm just referring to a little part of it. But it reminds me of Sgt. Pepper a little bit with the ending applause. But the thing is, this band feels like the Beatles of metal. That's how I feel about Black Sabbath. They're the Beatles of metal. So I think it's very fitting. This is almost like it's like a very Sgt. Pepper-esque ending with the people applauding, which is like, ha ha. That was funny, I guess. But yeah, I think this fits. I think it's better than The Wizard, Hand of Doom, whatever, man. I think it's a beautiful song. And if you're like, I think it kind of sucks, revisit it. All right. It's a long one. It's beautiful. It's amazing. Again, it's like this band, I wish they had, when they played live, they had a looser set list where like it's whatever. This song, oh, so good. What a beautiful way to close out a record. Love everything about it. So beautifully composed. Okay. Sabotage. I think at this point they have no rights to their music anymore. I think Bill Ward was managing the band for a while. Where at this point they're like, we really, you know, this might as well be our new debut record, because we lost all the rights to our previous stuff. We got screwed over by managers. We're pretty much broke. And let's make a Black Sabbath record. So, Sabotage is probably my favorite Black Sabbath album of all time. I love this so much. A lot of people have said some of the like songs like Symptom of the Universe is proto thrash metal. I am not sure if I believe in, I agree with that or believe in it, I guess, but still something to look at and be like and ponder and be like, maybe it is. Hole in the Sky just kicks you in the teeth instantly. To say this is an S tier song. Like, can we at least agree? Maybe it's not as good as like Children of the Grave, but this is like, you know, I think it's S. I really do. Yeah. Screw it. It's going to stay there. Symptom of the Universe. it's funny. I'm not sure. And it's funny. It starts with, I think it's Ozzy screaming attack or something. And then they go into the writ. So good. Lyrically. And I'm not counting Don't Start Too Late, because it's, what is it? A little 30 second bass thing. Symptom of the Universe. It's like the natural evolution of Children of the Grave. It's a little more fleshed out. Lyrically is excellent. The jam that this song, it starts so thunderous, and only Black Sabbath could have a song that starts so crazy and then ends with this like acoustic jam that's like floaty and the song fades out and it's such a 180. But it works. I can't imagine it without it. You know, it's just so amazing. And for me, this song, this song's gonna go. Oh God, it's gonna go right between Iron Man and War Pigs. It's that good. I think it's that good. We're talking like magnum opus Black Sabbath right here. I do also want to say the guitar tone is excellent, and I think it is peak. People say never say die. I think Sabotage is peak Ozzy vocals ever. I think this is the greatest Ozzy has ever sounded on a record. I think the production on the next record after this is better. So I guess you can argue the next one, but I don't know, man. I think this is perfect. And I think the next song after this, because you go, oh, it can't get any better than this. Megalomania, I think, is the best song Black Sabbath ever wrote, period. It's maybe my favorite song of all time, a top three at least. I think it's the best I think it's the best use of cowbell ever in music. yes, even including Don't Fear the Reaper, and someone could probably name some other bullshit, but yeah. You know. Talk about a side A. Like, Jesus Christ. thrill of it all. We're definitely back to Earth now. I think we're kind of out of a S tier level of quality, which we'll touch back on that in a couple songs. But thrill of it all, it's nice, you know, it's nice to take a breath after the awesomeness that came before it. It's good. I love thrill of it all. I love the da 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 da. Yeah, I love that so much. I don't think it's an S tier level Black Sabbath song. I'm gonna put it right after Forever. I think it's good. I think it's really good. I think it's definitely an A tier track. Is it S though? I don't think so. Am I going insane? That's kind of how I feel right now doing this video, an episode, but. It's fun. I think this is kind of overshadowed. A lot of people kind of clown on this, but I like it. I think it's fun. I think it's a good length. I think it's like interesting. I think it's fun. I think this is a I'm gonna keep this on the top of B. All right. I think this is a great track to kind of front B tier. Yeah, all right, I'm happy with that. The Writ. God, this song just again kicks you in the teeth when it kicks off. It's about teen angst, I'm pretty sure. I love the lyrics and everything about this. The riff, it's a long one. It's good. It's like empowering too. It's great. End of S. I think this is an end of S song. This is an S tier level track. This is Black Sabbath, you know, at their peak. Again, they know how to end a goddamn record. They know how to close out an album. And this is a great example of it. Long one. It's a long song, but it is very justified in its length. All right. That is Sabotage. Happy with this so far, I think. Can't wait to see how wrong I am. All right, next one. All right, we're having some trouble with the band now. There's a little bit of egos going on. Some egos. Definitely a little clash between Ozzy and Tony. Ozzy has a lot of ideas he has for Tony. Tony's like, I'm not really into it. This album is a very, very hit or miss record for a lot of people. It took me a little bit to get into this personally. The album cover is very interesting. the two robots making love on an escalator, I think it was. Whatever. Backstreet Kids, and a lot of this album, a lot of people say, is just a little generic and tropey, which I can agree with in a way, but Backstreet Kids, I know people say it's kind of, you know, lyrically, like, what? Like, that's, it's just a little corny, I guess, but I actually really, really, really dig this song. I dig it more than The Wizard, actually. Maybe not. I the Wizard, yeah. I think it's an excellent song to kick off a record. The production on this album is so good. Maybe I'm not sure if people talk about that enough, but the production is amazing. I love the way this album kicks off. Backstreet Kids, I think, is great. You Won't Change Me is interesting. It's an interesting second track, and it takes the album in a weird direction. The first half of the song is very doomy, and it's like, ooh, interesting. It's can't wait to see where the song goes. And then it kind of, I think you definitely feel the length on this track. Black Sabbath definitely has a way of, like, really progressing a song, like, really taking it to new places. Where this, I feel like, if anything, the riffs kind of became a little lackluster with this track compared to the opening riff. I think it's, I'd just put it over Looking for Today, maybe. It's a good song, but I don't think it's the best of Black Sabbath. And I just want to also, you know, restate, this is really hard. This is like one of my favorite bands. Do I agree with this? Over St. Vitus Dance, Looking for Today. Yeah, I'll take it. I'll do it. Yeah. Okay. I like it there. It's all right. A Bill Ward song. The song itself, it's all right. it doesn't really do anything for me personally. Honestly, I think it's a B level song. It's good. I like Bill Ward on it. I think it's interesting. But I don't think it's No Cornucopia or Tomorrow's Dream, Looking for Today. It's I don't know. It's Black Sabbath definitely having some inner battles, I feel, with a lot of this record. Gypsy, I really, really like, though. I think this is a really fun riff, a fun song lyrically. I love the chorus and the shredding, the just endless Tony Iommi shredding that takes it out of this song is really, really, really good. I'm gonna put it right after Forever. I think it's that good. I really do. Yeah, I think Gypsy's a really fun song. All Moving Parts Stand Still, though. I don't know. It, like, Ozzy kind of seems kind of bored singing this. Some of the lyrics don't really seem inspired. We're kind of moving out of this doomy, you know, witchcraft, spiritual Sabbath, and more into this more like rock and roll Black Sabbath. This more praying for radio play Black Sabbath. This is, I don't know, man. I'm going to put this after It's All Right, because we're just kind of plateauing, I feel. And I think this isn't a B-level Black Sabbath track, personally. But I don't know, man. I think it's... I think it's still good. I think it's still a good, good track. It just a lot of technical ecstasy. I feel like it's just like you definitely feel the length of the songs. I feel especially with All Moving Parts, and I prefer most of Black Sabbath, the Ozzy era stuff over this one. Rock and Roll Doctor, same thing. You know, it's like. Lyrically, I'm not into it at all. It's like just the most tropey, generic rock song The riff is very, you know, generic rock and roll. It seems like they're trying to get radio play with this one. For me, this is going before Who Are You. It's, you know, I spin this album sometimes, and it's like, or not sometimes, but I do spin this album quite a lot, actually. Because I just love the production. I just love how everything sounds on this. And I do like the tracks, but I feel like it's hard to compare the songs on this to like Paranoid, because it almost feels like this like album is almost from another band. She's Gone, I think, maybe another example of radio play and just a sequel to Changes. It's pretty much just a worse Changes. Is it a bad song? No. Is Rock and Roll Doctor a bad song? I don't think so. But I think I'm going to restructure some of this. She's Gone, I'm going to put right before Rock and Roll Doctor. I just don't. It's just like it's a worse Changes, I think. And I think, you know, I love the instrumentation on it. There's a lot going on in this song. But the, you know, it just doesn't really do much for me compared to the rest of the band's discography. I don't think this album is like one of the best Black Sabbath has ever put out. I think it's really good, though. Thankfully, again, they know how to close out a record. Dirty Women is really good. Do I think it's like a top of A, though? I don't know. I don't think it is. It's fun. It's definitely kind of lengthy. I like what it is about lyrically, but it's like I miss with this song the complexity with like the Writ, you know what I mean? And, you know, Spiral Architect or whatever. I'm going to put this right above. All right. I think it's above Killing Yourself to Live. I don't think it's as good as Sabra Cadaver, National Acrobat, but I think I think I agree with that. I think I do, weirdly enough. All right. Christ. This is overwhelming. All right. Let's keep going, man. So, looking at this right here, right now, do I agree with this? Yeah. I feel like there's nothing that's really C material, though. Like, I think we could maybe break this up a little bit, because I think like Rock and Roll Doctor, I don't think is on the same level as like Am I Going Insane or Tomorrow's Dream. I feel the same about She's Gone. Laguna Sunrise. Okay. Just to like give a little more, divide it up a little bit more. I think that's fair. Well, anything touch D or F, I don't think so. But yeah, okay. Let's keep going. All right, this one's going to be hard, because it's like, it's, again, it feels like this is an album by a completely different band. Ozzy quit during this, the making of this. They're in Canada. It's freezing. I think they can only record in the morning. They're miserable during this. They had another vocalist come in. Ozzy came back, so they booted him. And then instead of just singing the other guy's lyrics. Ozzy had to rewrite the song because he refused to sing someone else's lyrics. So it's a mess. It's a very, very ambitious record. Because it's like jazzy. There's so much going on with it. I know people absolutely despise this record. The production is very light. It's very like airy, if that makes sense. It's very floaty, which I'm kind of into. Never Say Die, I think, is a great way to kick off the record. Is it Black Sabbath's best? I don't think so. I think, if anything, it's I'd prefer it over Backstreet Kids as an opener. Is it better than The Wizard, Supernaut, Snowblind? This is very controversial to put it over those, but yeah, I love it. I think it's a great song. I think if maybe the song was on another record, people would praise it a little more. But I like it. I think it's really good. I prefer the version on the compilation, though, but it's still, I think, a great track. Johnny Blade, where this song, I think, is not talked about enough. I love the synth that kicks it off, and then the drumming. You can tell with Bill Ward's drumming, he's almost like pissed. Like you can almost hear the tension in the band through their playing. And then the riff, like, I love how one at a time the instruments kick in, and then the riff, the da 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 da, and then Ozzy comes in with some of the best vocals. For me, you know. What's it about? Like, I think it's about Bill Ward's brother or something. This is going right over Dirty Women for me. And this is a hot take. This is a very hot take. But I think Johnny Blade is definitely a top-level A-tier song. I love the lyrics. I love everything that happens. The ending, maybe, you know, is like, it's just, I love everything about it. I think it's a really cool, like a cool character song, I guess, you know what I mean? Like, it's just so fitting. Like, in terms of like Black Sabbath as a band, a song like this, I think is so fitting, and it works so well with the band, and and this song is just, I just love it. I'm trying not to repeat myself so much, but it's a classic for me. It's for sure a classic for me. Junior's Eyes, the bass line is fantastic. The lyrics are very personal to Ozzy. I love the almost like guitar feedback that goes on during it. The solo is great. I like the outro of the song. Just a really, really solid track. I'm going to put this right after Looking for Today. I think it's really solid. Yeah, I think I prefer this album as a whole over Technical Ecstasy, which is definitely a take for sure. Hard Road is good. It's maybe kind of a hard listen because it is kind of lengthy, but I might be mixing up with another song, but it's, I think the chorus is great. It's a very memorable song. I love the riff of it. I think this deserves top of B. I think this song, this album, definitely kind of falls off at when we get to the B side, and we'll talk about that more. For example, Shockwave, it's just not really memorable at all. For me, this is going top of C. Hate to do it, but I love the outro riff. I love the, it's very, heavy. I love like the choir thing that's going on with it, but personally one of the most forgettable Black Sabbath tracks ever. Still, this is more than Technical Ecstasy. I think this is one of those albums where like I have to hear it all at once. And when we get to like Shockwave and the rest of the, or I think this is where, are we I'm trying to remember if this is end of B or end of A or top of B, but Shockwave, it's a good song, you know, I enjoy listening to it, but I don't think it's on the level of like Tomorrow's Dream or anything, but whatever. Air Dance, people trash this one a lot. I've seen a lot of hate on this song. Personally, I absolutely adore the song. I think it's incredible. I think the instrumentation, the piano blending with Ozzy's vocals, the guitar, the tone is so unique, I think, on this record. Lyrically, I think it's such an interesting concept. And I think it's like a little haunting, like some of the lyrics I think are really interesting and cool. I love the subject on this song. For me, it's going right under Cornucopia. And I don't think it's an A tier track at all, but I think it still deserves love. I think it definitely deserves love. Now over to you. I love the what is it, the chorus riff? Yeah, it's the chorus riff. It's so groovy. This is such a groovy song. One of the more groovy later Black Sabbath songs in the Ozzy era. I'm going to put this between Tomorrow's Dream and Cornucopia. I prefer this over Cornucopia. Do I prefer it over Tomorrow's Dream? I don't know. I think everything in A is better. I think everything after in B is probably better. It's, again, not super memorable. The riff, the chorus riff is amazing and for me saves the whole song. Because of the groove, it's like it's just so enjoyable to listen to, but that's just where I in my heart I feel like it deserves. I think that's where it belongs personally. All right, these next two will be very very hard to rank, and I have not put I should have put some more thought into the B side of this record. Breakout, you know, is complete Jazz Sabbath. Ozzy refused to sing on this track because he's like, this is not the music I you know, signed up to be a singer for. Reminds me of something from like King Crimson, kind of. I would. Is this? Can you even? You know. Rate this song. I'll probably put it next to Fluff somewhere. I'll put it bottom of B, because I think it's like 3 minutes. I think it's cool. I think it's a lot of fun. It's more original than I think a lot on Let's see. You know what? It's C. It's C tier. It's definitely C tier. It's cool. It's a lot of horns, but you know, it's kind of just, you know, bringing musicians in a room. It's like, yeah, let's play something so we can bring into the next song. Swinging the Chain. The Sabbath kind of break the streak on the best, you know, having amazing, fantastic, iconic songs to close out a record. Maybe not iconic, but like masterpieces to close out an album. They might actually break that tradition with this record and this song. I love the riff, the ba-da-da-da-do-do. I love that so much. I'm going to put this end of A. I love Bill Ward's vocals on this. I love the riff. I love how the song progresses. Is it better than A Hard Road, though? And Am I Going Insane in Tomorrow's Dream? This might... I'm going to look stupid because this might be a big leap. I'm going to put it between It's All Right and All Moving Parts Stand Still. I think I prefer the riff in All Moving Parts. And I prefer Air Dance. I prefer Tomorrow's Dream, Cornucopia. A Hard Road, I prefer. Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking with A. But yeah, I think B is fitting. All right. So, a lot of people believe this should have been the end. And for a lot of people, this is the end of the ranking. This is it. Take a mental image, a screenshot or whatever. Because in 2013 or whatever year, Rick Rubin decided, you know what? I love Black Sabbath, but the audio just isn't peaking enough. You know what I mean? It's not, the sound isn't as bloated as I want it to be. And in 13, man, like, the whole thing where Rick Rubin was like, you know what, just listen to the first two Sabbath albums, and then that's going to be what we're going to try to aim for. Where the songwriting for 13 is a little forced. The production is terrible. The mix, I hate how this album was handled. There's no room for Tony's guitar tone to breathe. Everything just seems like it's just layered on top of each other. Everything feels so compressed. And Jesus Christ, every song is like 9 minutes. You know, it's two discs. If they took all the material, all the riffs Tony wrote and squeezed it into one LP, this could have been a fantastic record. But I think you guys already know my opinion on it and where it's going to go. But it's going to be tough because it's like, where the fuck do I even, like... Like, with all these songs already ranked, this is going to be really hard. So 13, we made it. The final one. Here we are. Do I agree with the look of this already? I think so. You know, I like Johnny Blade more than Supernaut, personally. I think it's underrated. Never Say Die, I think, deserves the praise. I think it's one of the best Sabbath songs. But yeah, all right. End of the beginning. It's funny because when I listen to this, it feels like the song never ends. for me, I'm going to put this... I'm going to put this after All Moving Parts. It's a good song. It just feels like it never ends. This song kind of just, you know, and it definitely gets interesting as it goes on, but it could have been cut in half, I think. A lot of the songs before it, even like, you know, Never Say Die, I feel like is very well balanced, even though some of the songs are kind of a little lengthy. It definitely seems like it's kind of justified, where with this, it's just like so obviously like convoluted, and just like so, or not, it's convoluted, but dragged out at the same time. I don't know, man. It's interesting. Loner, finally, Black Sabbath wrote a song about their fans. Loner's great. I'm actually... I'm going to put this after You Won't Change Me. I think this is a great song. I think it's really good. I think the length's perfect. I love the lyrics. I love the riff. I love where the song, you know, goes. It's great. You know, listening to this for the first time, it's like, awesome, cool. More of this, please. But Rick Rubin said, no, thank you. Or definitely not. God is Dead. They're like, Ozzy, we can't write a song called God Is Dead. And just throw a question mark at the end, I guess. This is really good. I like it. Is it a little long? I like kind of where the song goes. It definitely could have used some trimming. I kind of think Junior's Eyes is better. This song could have been like a War Pigs level song, I think. It's so like the production, the mix, it's almost like a headache sometimes to listen to this album. But I'll put God Is Dead over, I'll put it over Looking for Today, whatever. I think it's going to go at the end of A. How about that? All right. Can we at least agree with that? The lyrics are, you know, I dig them. What's the line? I'll drink the wine, you can keep the bread or whatever. I've heard a lot of people clown on that. I think it's good. I don't think it's a bad song. I think it's better than, is it better than Tomorrow's Dream and Cornucopia? I kind of think so, and I'm sorry. Zeitgeist. This album, it's like they're just checking off, okay, here's our Planet Caravan, here's our War Pigs, here's our this, here's our that. Zeitgeist is it better than Solitude? I think it deserves to be in front of or behind Solitude. I'm gonna put it after. I think it's better than Solitude. I think it's really good. I like the echoiness. It's literally, if you take Planet Caravan and Solitude and combine them, you would get this. Is it better than All? It's All Right. Yeah. No. I don't think so. I actually think It's All Right is pretty all right. Age of Reason. This is so fucking impossible because it's like so many of these albums sound so different. So, you know, throw me a bone. That's all I'm saying. Age of Reason. I like the riff. I like how the song kicks off with the drums, the doot 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 doot. I think when the song kicks off, it really, really does. I think this is one of the only songs on the album where the second half is actually like enjoyable and you're actually happy for its length. I'm gonna put this right before Loner, actually. I think it's really good. I love the kind of like the I don't know if I should say the dream theater part, but it, for some reason, that's just where my brain went to, where it goes down, now, no, no, na, na, no, 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 no. I love that part. And then it goes into a whole nother section, and I love the riff on it, and I love where the song takes you and the journey of it. And it gets to the point where it's like, okay, this album has a lot of promise. And then you get hit with Live Forever. Live Forever, I feel like the best way to sum it up is you listen to it once and it feels like you listen to it five times in a row. The riff of just da na 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 na, it just never feels like it stops. It just keeps going. It just never feels like it ends. And it's so repetitive, and it's like it's good, you know, but in small doses, maybe it just, I don't think it's, I don't think it's worth the hype. But still, I think She's Gone is kind of a radio play, like just trying to get radio play. Rock and Roll Doctor is very generic, but I can still listen to it and not really get annoyed. I think C tier is where it shall stay. Yeah, I think I summed up everything. But She's Gone and Breakout. It's whatever. Damaged Soul is actually pretty... I really like the harmonica on this. I really like how... Like, it kind of goes to the roots in the end where it's like a bluesy jam. I really, really like that. Really, really, really like that. So, Damaged Soul for me is it better than Air Dance? Is it better than Cornucopia, End of the Beginning? I think it's easy to group these songs in like next to each other because they're a lot of it's the same quality. I think this song's better than Air Dance. Yeah. I think it fits there. Yeah, I think it fits there. I like the jam. I like the blues, the bluesiness of it. But I think it's a B tier. This is so impossible. This, if I ever do like a full Blacks, because I want to. If we ever hit five, if this YouTube channel ever gets 5,000 subscribers, I would love to. I would absolutely love to do a full Sabbath 1-13, just as an experiment. Even though I know people are gonna like put a put me on a hit list or something, but I don't know. All right. Dear Father. Dear Father, is this a good song? So Sabbath, again, I have to bring this up every time we're on this, and this is the last song we're ranking. So I do want to say, if any of you have stuck it through the end where we are, thank you. And please subscribe or follow the podcast on all platforms. Give a like. Thank you. I'll definitely hear how wrong I am after this. But Dear Father, I think is a fantastic closer. I was so pleasantly surprised when I heard this. I frequently... Out of everything on 13, I frequently revisit this. I think it's so good. I'm going to put this right before Thrill of It All. Mm-hmm. Yep. I think that's where it shall stay. I think it's the best of 13. Definitely save the best for last with that one. And yeah, this is the full ranking of all my Ozzy era Black Sabbath. Now, do I agree with this? Yeah, I think so. I'm probably going to post this and be like, oh my God, half of these I would change. But yeah, it's so hard, man. Like comparing like volume 4 and Never Say Die to, but this is the exact order I'd probably put everything in. Again, this is kind of loose. This isn't like, oh yeah, Age of Reason versus You Won't Change Me, you know, St. Vitus versus God Is Dead, which these two are so vastly different in like literally every element. We're like one, but I don't know, man. This is just how I feel. This is it. This is the list. I don't even have to ask how wrong am I, how right am I, because you guys will already let me know. The Metallica one. Say this. Here's what I want to know. Here's a comment I want you to leave. What is your hottest take? If you were to rank every Sabbath song, what is the hottest take? What is the song you would rank the highest that maybe not a lot of people would rank as high? For me, probably Johnny Blade. I love that song to death. Dear Father, I think might be high, and God Is Dead and Age of Reason might be a little too high, but I don't know. I'm probably going to publish this and be like, oh shit, that was, I'm going to get crucified for this. But yeah, Hopefully the Black Sabbath fans are nicer than the Metallica fans. But yeah, this is just how I feel about it. Wicked World. Let me go back to that. Wicked World would probably, I'm just going to say A tier. I think it's a very solid A tier track. I would, I'd probably put it after Killing Yourself to Live. That's not just because it's in the middle of the screen, but kind of similar song, similar, like, I don't know. I just think Wicked World is better. And is it better than Never Say Die, Backstreet Kids, The Wizard, Hand of Doom, Planet Caravan, Thrill of It All? I don't know. Maybe. Thrill of It All. Yeah. It's better than Planet Caravan. What am I doing? Dear Father. It's just so tough, man. Planet Caravan, it might as well be it's a whole different genre of music, you know what I mean? But yeah, I think just for the production alone and everything. And I like Snowball. Okay, this is it. This is the list. Again, like I said, give me your hottest take. And again, Disturbing the Priest is on Patreon down in the comments, or the description or whatever. Hit the link. I think I'll have a few tiers you can click. I'd love if you can support the channel. I love this podcast I'm doing. I really love the support. Thank you guys so much for like just all the views and the subscribers. And I love interviewing artists. It's a lot of fun. I want to definitely expand and do maybe like reviews, do more of this. Maybe like, you know, dip into the world of reacting. Because I love like listening to new tracks and stuff. And hey, it might be fun to listen with you guys and do a first time reaction and post it and see what people think. But yeah, that's it. This is my Black Sabbath all Aussie tracks ranked, besides bonus and covers. But thank you guys so much. I'm Brandon Baddock, and this is Disturbing the Priest.